Somebody's got some excitement going. All right, let's go to our scriptures tonight. I want to talk to you about how to activate your angel, or activating angels, and just a very small introduction to probably what we'd like to get into sometime some more. And I'd like to go to Psalm 91, verse 10 and to 12, and let's pick up there. And I want to give you also this, idea, because sometimes people think, you have to, religiously pray about everything that God has for you. And you don't always have to pray about everything. You just have to live it out. If you live out the Word of God, if you act on the Word of God, God's going to help you. And so let's go to Psalm 91, and Psalm 91, 10 to 12, the scripture says that no evil shall befall thee, and that's the person who lives under the shadow of the Almighty. And he says something. And I think we should read, some previous verses of scripture, but we'll go ahead and read Psalm 91 and the rest of it as we have it here for you. You have it on the, yes, you have it there. And he said, no evil shall befall you. Well, that's we could rejoice right there and just say, praise God. It's wonderful. Neither shall any plague shall come near you or near thy dwelling. I'm reading the King James. For he shall give his angels, that is, God will give his angels, charge over you, to keep you in all your ways, or keep you in all thy ways, King James says. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash your foot against a stone. You know, the devil quoted some of that scripture to Jesus one time. But I want you to notice something here that is going to be very apropos to this message, because sometimes, like I said, you don't have to always pray about everything. When you read the Bible, you could act on the Word of God. The Word of God that's quick, it's alive. Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 12, 10, or chapter 1, verse 12 says, the Word of God, that God watches over His Word to perform it. It says the Word of God is quick, Hebrews 4 and 12. The Word of God is quick, or it's alive. Jesus said, John 6:63, that my Word is spirit and it's life. And, the Word of God is alive. I like to appreciate the people sing about scripture songs. And so it says here that God will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. But I want you to notice Psalm 91, starting from the first verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this person who dwells in the shadow of the Mighty will say this. He said, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. What is he going to say? He is my refuge. That's you saying that. God wants you to say that. God wants you to say something about what his word says. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. And he is my God. And in him will I trust. God wants you to trust him. And God wants you to confess that you trust him. God wants you to say you trust him. Notice what it says. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. That he is my God. And on him I will trust in him. Yeah. See, that's the way you abide in the Lord. That's how you abide in God regularly. Is that you make this alive to yourself. You begin to say these things. And we've been, we touched on a little bit of a confession of faith in our Bible school last night. We're just getting onto the edge of it. I'm going to jump right into it. He said, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's after you begin to say these things. That's after you begin to say, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God, and I'm going to trust in him. And surely this person who says these things, that God will deliver him from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust in him. He shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that fly by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thy eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear it up with their hands, and lest thou dash a foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high. He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. And God's word, this is God's word. You know, we need to get a hold of this, because this is the day we should begin to confess this. This belongs to you and me. The scripture says, I will say of the Lord. Now, tonight we're going to spend a few moments and study about angels. And let's be reminded over here in this verse of scripture, Psalm 91, and we started from verse 10 there, but verse 11 says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. But God has given us angels. And I want to propose this idea that you can either say what God says about you, or you can either pray what God says about you. Amen? Because the Bible says, I will save the Lord. He didn't say, I'll pray about it. He said, I will save the Lord. That's your confession. That's what you need to say what God says about you. Just say, thank God his angels are, when you travel somewhere, just say, thank God the angels are with me today. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. If you know that, if you're led by the God, you need to know, claim the protection of angels around you. Claim God's protection in your life. And, you know, there's so many things that we can claim here, but at least right now we're going to talk about angels. You can either pray about stuff, or you can begin to say what God says about you. It's going to work either way. God has given us angels to assist us here on earth. Each of us either has given at least one angel or even more angels to help us throughout our lifetime. God even sends a host of angels to help us in times of evil powers that come against us, to protect us in his service. And we need to learn how to dispatch the angels, or how to cooperate with God to help, to get these angels to help us for our personal benefit and for the benefit of our children and for the benefit of our ministry or whatever God wants us to have. These angels are there. Prayer is a way to have your angels work for you. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, the New King James says. And John 15:7 said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you. Somebody's trying to phone me here. Sorry, whoever that is. And it shall be done unto you. You know, somebody said that prayer has really answered prayer. It depends more on you than it does on God, because God's always going to, his word is always true, and he's always true to his word. It's up to you to know the truth of God's word. It's up to you to pray the word of God. Pray in line with God's word. But also on the other hand, we need to learn how to speak God's word over our own selves. Say what he says about it. And the Bible says here in Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, Well, who's going to help you move the mountain? Well, somebody said Holy Spirit, but the Holy, God's angels are here for you. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Who's going to remove this thing? Who's going to put it in the sea? But shall believe that those things, everybody say things. That's what we want. We want things to happen in our lives. We want something. But those things which ye, where am I here? Be not moved and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Notice that phrase. He shall have or possess whatever he says. In other words, whatever you say, you're going to possess whatever you say, not what God says. He's already said his word. It's what you say about your life. In verse 24, because, you know, that's the way the operation of the God kind of faith begins to, be affected. He says, therefore, I say to you what things soever you desire when you pray. See, you can say it or you can pray it. When you pray, what do you have to do? You have to believe. He said, believe the moment you're praying that you receive them. The moment you're praying, believe that you receive it. Believe that God is going to be good on his word. You say, I believe that. I believe that in my heart. I confess. I believe in my heart that God said it. I confess it. I believe it. I receive it by faith. That you believe and you shall. The word shall is, present tense designation there. And it's somewhere along the word, long line there, you're going to get that, whatever it is you're believing God for. So I'm just saying here for this scripture that you could either say something or you can pray about it. Either way, it's going to work. But we have to know what the word says first. So I want you to notice Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21, New Living Translation. Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21 says, praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? How about you lifting one hand and say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
One more time. That's a little bit weak. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And lift two hands. Say, praise God. Exciting here. That's a little bit radical for some people. I mean, that's real radical for some people. You know? It makes them feel out of place. I remember I told you a story one time. I was a little Catholic person. I grew up in Catholic church for all my life. I got born again watching Billy Graham I got saved. I didn't know about Christians. I only knew Catholics. I thought everybody should be Catholic because we're all going to heaven. You guys are not. For some reason, I believe that. So I was raised that way because, you know, those Baptists, they're all going to hell because they don't have a pope. We do. But, you know, my first job, I was 24 years old. I moved away from my first job. I got graduated from college, and I went to a place in Kenora. And I went to start going to this Baptist church, and I started going to this Pentecostal church, And I noticed that the Pentecostal church and the charismatic Pentecostals were basically the same in their worship. They all sat down, they had an organist, and they all sang songs from a hymn, and no one ever raised their hands, nobody jumped up or whatever. So they were the same. I always thought that the charismatics were just a little bit more, you know, excited about things. But in this church, the Lord began to speak to me and said to me, lift your hand. I said, I'm not going to lift my hand in here. Nobody lifted their hand in here. I'm going to take a look at a sore thumb. So I lift one hand, you know, like this. Then he said, lift the other one. I said, okay. And I lift the other hand. Then he said to me, stand up. And so I stood up. I'm a young man. I mean, this was a church, I don't know, maybe 150, 200 people there. And I'm sitting there, and I've never been to a church like that in my life. And I'm very shy, and so I'm standing up, but I had my eyes closed because I was afraid. and then I opened my eyes, and I saw everybody standing up. It took one person to stand up and worship. And then during that time, I remember telling myself, you know, I mean, I wish I could sing. You know, I'd like to sing. And so I just sang with the rest of the crowd. Then I heard this voice singing, very nice voice. I said, boy, that's that's a nice voice. And I said, oh, that's me singing. There's two schools of thought there. One is that under anointing, everything will sound good. The second thought is that God actually did something to me that made my voice sound pretty good. I stayed in tune. And, you know, I was pretty good. Then I said to myself, boy, do I ever have a nice voice. I'm singing real good. Then the Lord said to me immediately, he said, that's not you singing, it's me. So I knew that God did something in me at that time. And I knew I could sing under the anointing. And with the anointing, you could do anything. But, you know, I was a singer. I don't know why I added that in there, but for some reason I added that there tonight to get you excited maybe. But, you know, it says, I guess that we started, praise the Lord. That's why we started that, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans. I mean, the angels of God are here to carry out the purpose of God, whatever purpose God in your life, he's going to carry the plans out. Listening to each of his commands. Now, angels are listening to the commands of God. Now, who's going to command God's word on the earth? You and I are going to do it. We're going to speak the word of God. When we speak the word of God, they're going to go in operation. I said, you can either pray about it or you can say it. As long as we say God's word. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. His will is his word. When we begin to speak the will of God over our families, our lives, our finances, our bodies, these angels are going to go into operation and help us out. You know, sometimes angels do attack people physically. And sometimes people are unaware that there are actually angels in their midst, or they're in the presence of an angel. You see that in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So angels can take in the form of a person. Now, personally, I know two people who actually had an angel visit them. And there are other people who have said it. I remember I was at a meeting with Benny Hinn, I mean, you and I, a couple of times. Benny Hinn told the story a number of times. I've been to many of his meetings over there. And so we'd travel wherever Benny was preaching. We'd travel with him. We'd travel, not with him, but travel wherever he went, because we was following what he was doing, and we want to know how he got what kind of manifestations in his life because of the Spirit of God. So we want that. And so he said one day they were doing something and someone was approaching them and they were having this conversation and the angel gave them a message, and right before their eyes he disappeared. And all the kids that was in that car where they got all scared. Now you know Mark Davey, he's our personal friend, my personal friend, and he went over when he was over and going over to do missions work, missionary. He's a missionary evangelist over in North Africa, where there's a lot of Muslim people, and there was a lot of chaotic and destruction towards Christians, and churches are underground. And so he went to this mall trying to find these certain people, these pastors. And so he arrived there. He didn't know where to find these people, and so he's standing around. So this man approached him and asked him, "I know who you're looking for." And he got a little bit suspicious because he thought maybe this guy's an undercover guy, he's going to take me to jail. So he proceeded to follow him. He said, I'll take you to those people that you want to go and see. So they got on this taxi, and so they went around and made a couple of trips on this taxi cab, made a couple of detours and so on, and finally they arrived to the place where this church was. And so when the man came, brought Mark Davey to the pastor, and they started to introduce each other, the man, before the eyes, disappeared in an instant. Now that's an angel. Brought them to this place. And, I've heard other people mention different things like that. I've even known people who had, negative angels. I call them negative angels. Bad angels, you know. Hell's angels, you want to call them. But they're there. There's angels everywhere. There's angels right here, right now. There's angels, a couple of angels beside me right now. Don't you see them? You have angels too. Ernie has about six, he said. So angels can take on the appearance of a man, and people might not even be aware of it. Angels can carry messages from God to tell you something, and or they're there to protect you for some reason. You see this in the scriptures, that angels always came and gave a word to the people. They gave messages. They even spoke to different kings. They spoke to different prophets. They spoke to different apostles and disciples and so on. You see that all in the scriptures. I remember Brother Hagin talking about his experience. He said, I had different experiences where I saw Jesus. Jesus appeared to him. And he said that one time when the Lord appeared to him, he had this experience where as he was talking to Jesus, this demon spirit appeared between him and Jesus. And he was going yakety yak yak yak, and he couldn't hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I've got an important message for you from the Father God to tell you something about your life, your ministry, and so on. And this angel went on and on and on, and he every time he yelled up and jumped and down, this puff of smoke, he couldn't see or couldn't even read his lips. And he said, doesn't Jesus know I can't get a word he's saying here? Why doesn't Jesus do anything about that demon spirit? And so, and he got mad. He said, in the name of Jesus, stop that right now. And the devil, that demon fell down, whimpered around, and he started to shake. And he said, he had to go. He says, go right now. And he listened to what Jesus said. And Jesus turned to him. He said, if you didn't do anything about that spirit, I couldn't. He shook his head. He says, what are you talking? You mean you wouldn't? He said, no, I couldn't. He said, wait a minute, Jesus, I'm messing up here for a moment. He said, you mean you said you couldn't do anything for me? No, he said, unless you did something about that, I couldn't have done anything for you. See, God has given us charge over our own lives in a lot of areas, and we need to take responsibility spiritually over our lives. And so when that thing went away, and he looked and he saw someone standing beside Jesus, a great big being, he said, and every time that Jesus would stop, that angel would begin to open his hand like this and open his mouth to talk. And Jesus would talk again. And as he looked at the angel and he looked at Jesus and kept going back and forth as Jesus was talking to him, then after he was finished, he says to him, who's that guy behind you? He said, oh, that's your angel. And he's got a word from you from the Father God to give you something. See, angels will give you a message if they have to. Now, this has impacted a lot of people, including myself, my own life, and this church and a lot of other churches, what the angel brought to Brother Hagin. If your life affected more than one or two people, I believe the angel will come and speak and help you out. But he's not going to give you a message just to ask you what kind of shirt to buy. That doesn't really matter. It's not going to affect the church. But I believe when it impacts a whole pile of people in the world around you about the Christian message, I believe the angels can help you. And, thank God that we do have angels. So Satan himself, the scripture says, can transform himself into an angel of light to bring a wrong message to people. That's why we need to have the Word of God to discern whether this is true or not. So notice 2 Corinthians, Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. He says, and no marvel that Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light. See, an angel, we have to understand that, if we can understand this, if we know Scripture, we're not going to get fooled by anything like that. I remember a story here of a pastor who was dying. He was a young man, and he's a pastor. And he's dying of a sickness and disease there, and he's pretty in bad shape, and he has to quit his pastoring position so that he can live longer. The doctor said, if you quit, you'll live a little bit longer, and if you pastor, you'll die earlier because there's too much stress on you. How many of you know that you can bring stress on the pastor? They say, 1,500 pastors die, or at least not die, but 1,500 pastors quit every month in North America. And the number one reason is because their team has brought them too much stress, their team members. And my wife said to me, thank God, today we weren't talking about this, but she mentioned something about something because we were talking about, with someone today. And she said, thank God we don't have any kind of stress like that in our team. Because we teach people every month. Well, when we're doing leadership, that we should treat each other right with proper respect for one another, right? Like, I'm not the kingpin. I got this job because God gave me this job. Eh? But, angels are sent to help us out. They're there to minister to us for different areas. And Bridget, I was going to say something else. What I was mentioning here, the pastor was sick, and one night he's praying, or early in the morning he's praying, and all of a sudden he's on his knees praying, and all of a sudden this person appeared to him, and he saw his shoes, his feet. His feet had sandals on, Roman sandals. It said on there, Roman sandals. No, it said sandals on there. And I could see his feet, and he had a white robe, and he was glistening. And that voice, that man that in that robe, he thought it was Jesus. He said, "It's not my will to heal you." And he disappeared. And these people were trying to minister to this man. And the guy says, he's not going to receive prayer because he had a vision of Jesus or an angel last night. And the angel said, "It's not my will to heal you." And we know that 1 Peter 2:24 is against that. We know Isaiah 53:4-5. Matthew 8:17, verse 16, said that's not what it says in the scripture. Exodus, 15:26. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 15. That's all against the word of God. God wants to heal everybody. Yeah. Amen. God wants all of us well. That goes against, 3 John 2, 3, that God wants all of us to be healthy. And it goes against Psalm 91, that God wants everybody to live long life. Yeah. There's not such a day. God didn't say on April 31st, 2023, that you're going to die on 5 p.m. There's nothing like that in the Bible. We have something to do with how long we live. If not, so you check out Proverbs. The Bible says it's up to you, like what you do with your life. You can either shorten your life or lengthen your life. I know the scripture over there in Hebrews, it says that it's appointed once for man to die. He didn't say there that we're all going to die. That's what he said, that all of us one day we're going to die. He didn't say there's on 8:30 you're going to die. We can shorten our lives or we can lengthen our lives. Just ask any medical doctor. If you smoke, you can shorten your life. Hey? If you jump off a bridge, you can die early. I mean, listen, there's things that you do that can either strengthen you or make you weak. So the reason I said that is because it said in there, 2 Corinthians 11:14, that Satan himself can show himself as an angel of light. I remember another thing that I read, and of course I've heard Brother Higgins say it himself. When I was at Rhema Bible College, he said that when the Lord Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus was telling him something, he said, Jesus, I can't believe that. I need scripture for that. And Jesus said to him, I'll give you more than one scripture. He said, you need at least two or three scriptures to testify something is true in the scripture, in the Bible. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you some more scripture. So listen, we can be fooled by angelic visitations. We need to understand scripture. We have to know scripture. If that's against the word of God, then don't receive it, even if you saw a vision. We're not supposed to be led by visions. We're not supposed to be led by voices. And you ain't supposed to be led by prophecies. Prophecies only confirm what God put in your heart. If it's not in your heart, but if somebody prophesied to you, don't forget it. Forget it. You say, well, that's really confusing. I don't know. Well, just forget it. That guy missed it. See, don't let anything confuse you. That's right. Amen. I like one student here, praise God. You can activate your angel. You can either say this, whatever you want to, whatever want to happen, or you can pray about it. So thank God we can activate our angels. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels can be activated. They are not the all not ministering spirits. This is the New King James. Are they angels? Not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. We're the ones that inherit salvation. Angels are there to help you, to serve you, to do what you're supposed to do. They're not there to help you go and have a party and have a drunken wild party. They're not there just to for you to help you and serve yourself and greed and live for yourself. But they're there to help you for the things of God, to live for Jesus, to live holy, and to serve Him. That's why they're there to help you. Is this good or not? So they're not here. They're here. They're all around you right now. You can't see them with your natural eye unless the Lord opens your eyes, spiritual eyes. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. So angels go camping, right? They're like all our brothers, I think Pastor Dave loves camping. So angels are all around his camp. Amen? So here's the story right here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. The man of God prayed for his servant that God would open his eyes to see an angelic host of fighting angels to protect him, as the Bible says, Psalm 34:7. They encamp around you, and they'll deliver you. Therefore, let's go read it over here, 2 Kings 6:14. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and great army there. There came by night, surrounded the city. This army came there by the city. And the servant of the man of God arose early and went out. And an army surrounded the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those are with them." And Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to them, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike the people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, here you see an operation of the working of miracles. Like, you can't just pray this prayer yourself. "Lord, I want to strike everybody here with blindness tonight." That's not going to happen. Unless you have the gifts of the Spirit in operation in your life, and the gift of faith comes in operation. And when the gift of faith comes in operation, it's like God saying it himself. Whatever you say. And so he struck the guys with blindness and protected them. That happened. It's written in the scriptures. So this man was operating. How many people understand that Elisha had the operation of the power gifts of the Spirit in his life? Working of miracles, gifts of faith, gifts of healing in operation. And of course, prophetic word and visions and those kinds of things that happen with the revelation gifts happening in his life on a regular basis. You know, people who call themselves prophets, do they have this kind of gifts that are attached to their office? We need to understand this. You know, we're going to teach the Bible school students that, you know, when you come, if you have an office, there are certain, gifts of the Spirit or that thing will happen in your life on a regular basis. Some people call themselves evangelists. They go around preaching, but we never see one miracle in their lives, ever. That's not a regular evangelist. Evangelist has the mighty gifts of the power gifts operating in their lives on a regular basis. Praise God. Say, "What kind of gift you had?" Well, never mind. We all have angels throughout our lifetime. Matthew 18:10 says that these little children, their angels see the face of the Father in heaven. You know, children, you know, our kids have angels. We need to pray and believe God that to dispatch angels to help our children, our families, and whatever they need to help, would help with. Daniel, you know, the Bible talks about Daniel in the scriptures. And, he praise God for angels were with him to help him out in the times that he had problems there. We're not going to read about Daniel, but we could skip over that section because the long scripture is there. Peter Peter's prayer activating angels. He said over here, notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 3 to 8, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, when he observed him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? So he said unto him, your prayers and your alms have come up to a memorial before God. This is a man, this man here was praying about evidently he had a heart pure before God, but he was not born again yet. And, you know, God will help you and protect you. Like, if your heart's towards God, this guy, he was giving to the things of God, and he had prayer, and an angel was sent to him. He says, go and see this man. Make sure you go over here and go to this man's house. There's a man there. He's going to tell you how to get saved. That's the message. That's the scripture. Read it. This guy was not saved yet. The Bible says he was a member of an Italian band. I don't know what kind of band they had. It says in the scripture. Read the scriptures. He said, now send a man to Joppa. And he sent for Simon, whose surname name is Peter. And he's lodging there with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, he's giving clear instructions here about what he should do. This angel is talking to this guy, giving him clear instructions. And this is about salvation. This is about life and death. This is about everlasting life and everlasting death. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, I don't know if he had a car or a camel or what, he had something, he departed. Cornelius called two of his household servants and said, a devout soldier among whom waited for him continually. When he had explained these things, he sent them to Joppa. So Cornelius began to say here in Acts chapter 10, verse 30 and 33. So Cornelius said, for 4 days ago I was fasting until the fourth hour. At the ninth hour I prayed at my house, and behold, and a man stood before me in the bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Your alms. Not arms. I remember, where's Jimmy? Jimmy DeGagna, he was telling Pastor Kevin, he said, what are alms? He said, well, these are your arms. And these are your legs. So anyway, I thought that was funny, but evidently some of you don't think that's too funny. But anyway, we'll skip over that. Anyway, sent for Joppa, it says, Joppa and called Simon there, whose surname name is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent for you immediately, and to have done well to come now. Therefore, we are in the presence before God to hear all these things commanded by you, by God. So, he went there and he preached the gospel to them. They all got saved, all his house. That's almighty. That's wonderful. So we need to speak the word of God. We need to speak the word of faith. Speak the word of God over our lives, so that we can dispatch the ministry of angels in our own lives. Psalm 103, verse 20. Let's read that and we'll close tonight. The Bible says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. In other words, the angels are activated when you speak the word of God over your life. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for angels who protect me wherever I go. And I want to thank you the angels that are around me wherever I go. Because you said in your word, and your word will never lie, that you have your angels encamp around my life. I am a worshiper of God. Father, I reverence you and I worship you. Thank you for bringing me protection. Thank you for bringing all my needs and helping me this day. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for his word. We thank God for a keyboard player, too. Amen. Would you please lift your hands and worship God with me? Would you please lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Father, we want to praise you tonight. We lift holy hands. And we thank you tonight, Lord God, for your mighty word. We thank you for the angels that come to minister for us, to deliver us, to help us, to protect us. We thank you, Lord God. Jesus, you said to your disciples, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we do not permit in our lives will not be permitted to come in our lives. And what we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What we begin to permit to have happen in our lives shall be permitted to happen in our own lives. In the name of Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind every demonic force that has come against us, because you have given us power over all devils. We bind the enemy. We say, Satan, everybody say, Satan, get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my property. Get away from my work area. Get away from my ministry. Get away from my mind. Leave my body. Leave my house. Leave my premises. I command you in the name of Jesus, get away from my money. In the name of Jesus, stay away from my children. I bind you from operating around them and through them. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus by faith over them. Angels of God, go forth and cause protection and deliverance and blessings to come into our homes, into our lives, and our ministries. And Father, I want to thank you right now for the ministry of angels to help us in the name of Jesus. And Father, I worship you right now. Come on, let's thank him. Father, we praise you. Come on, let's hear some voices. Father, we praise you. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you praise, God. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I am free. Say, I am blessed. Thank you, God, for helping me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you feel a whole lot better right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, go ahead and greet somebody before you leave. Two or three people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We see you Sunday. Amen.